Satan, fall on me, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Sing anointing, anointing. Fall on me, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me.
Sweet anointing.
Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me.
Anointing,
fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall.
Anointing to fall on you. Oh, with fresh oil. Oh, yes. With fresh oil. Oh, yes. With fresh oil.
Yes, Lord.
Let's tell him that, Lord, you are welcome. Lord, you are welcome.
Welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way.
Lord, you are welcome.
Lord, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way.
Heal and deliver.
Heal and deliver in this place. Heal and deliver in this place. Heal and deliver in this place. Have your way.
Send your anointing.
Oh, send your anointing in this place. Send your place. Send your anointing in this place. Have your way.
Father God, we bless you. Have your way in our midst, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
And the saints said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Today is Global Healing Jesus Sunday. Can you put your hands together for Jesus? So what I'm going to do is we are going to just watch a 3-4 minute clip of what is happening in the Crusades. We're going to do that now, and then I will just share something important, and then after that we will continue. This is happening live. Hallelujah. This is happening, and our contributions to the Healing Jesus campaign goes to support this. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Now remember that Jesus Christ said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to encourage you. We will finish our series next week, God willing. But I want to encourage you this morning, almost afternoon, that the Healing Jesus campaign is very, very important.
Amen.
Amen. And actually, you realize that, let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. We'll just go through some of the verses we've been talking about already. Amen. So we're going to read from 35 to 39. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus went about all the cities and villages, preaching, teaching, and healing. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So those were the things Jesus was doing as he came to the earth.
That's right.
He was preaching, going around the towns and villages, going to different towns, villages, teaching, preaching, healing. In the same way, Jesus said we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every what? Creature. So anyone who is going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature is fulfilling the Great Commission. Now you and I cannot go to Africa. All of us can't go to Africa or to South America, but we can support it. And by supporting it, we are going there. I don't know whether somebody is hearing what I'm talking about. Don't worry. It just takes one person to solve the problem. Who didn't know Jesus? So many people at the Crusades. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I remember one of the Crusades in a part of Ghana called the Volta region. And that particular place was so poor that the offerings they gave were corn, chicken, corn, tomatoes, onions. It's a place called Donkokrum. Some people from Ghana will know the place, like a forgotten place. By the what? By the Volta Lake. Hallelujah. Forgotten. Forgotten. Now, Jesus sent Bishop there, and when he went there, you could see that these people, even when it was raining, there was one of the crusades, it was raining heavily, the people came there very early to wait in the rain. Now think about it, in America, who will wait in the rain? Even come for services or come for church or come for crusade, it's a complex thing. How much more in the winter? Or even if it's not winter, in the rain. But we have people who, even in the rain, they are coming because they are hungry. They are sheep. They are multitudes. And they are fainting. And they have no shepherd. They don't have the right way. But Jesus Christ came to preach, to teach, and to heal people. But that word healing is not just physical healing, even though it's mainly about physical healing. But the Bible says that by his stripes, we what? Are healed or were healed. Now, that word healing, let me show you that verse in Isaiah 53, let's read from 4 and 5.
Amen.
Verse 4 and 5. Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, this word healing, in fact, the physical healing is verse 4, which is surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's the translation of that verse. So verse 4 is healing, physical healing. Verse 5 includes physical healing, but it's total healing.
Amen.
By his stripes, we are healed. Now, this word healing, by this his stripes we are healed, is total healing. So if Jesus came to give total healing to people, there are many lost souls who don't have the physical, the total healing.
Right.
There are many souls, because without Jesus, you cannot get total healing.
That's right.
I don't know if you are hearing what I'm talking about. People could even be healed by doctors in the body. But what about the soul? What about the heart?
That's right.
Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So anytime the anointing is present, what Jesus came to do was to seek and to save the lost. Anytime the anointing is present, this is what will be the result. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Hallelujah. I mean, anytime I see the videos, I'm very excited. I've actually been for one of them, and I'm planning to attend a number of them. Hallelujah. But yes, it's wonderful indeed.
That's right.
And that it was one of the homecomings I went, or I think the last homecoming, I went there, and come and see miracles, come and see salvations, crowds, fantastic. He had sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now the question is, let me ask you a question. How many really with all their hearts believe that there is a literal heaven and a literal hell? Raise your hands. Really believe it. How many believe that it's a symbol? How many believe it's symbolic? Okay, so again, how many believe there's a literal place called heaven and a literal place called hell? How many are not sure? Well, I want to inform you today that there is 100% certainty that there's a literal heaven and a literal hell.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we must believe it because the Bible says so. Jesus spoke a lot about hell. Hallelujah. Now, there is hell when people die now. Before Jesus came, when people die, the good, the righteous, and the wicked are just those who are not for God. The righteous and the wicked all went to one area, which is the region of the dead, which is called Hades. In the Hebrew Old Testament, it's called Sheol. And this place had two compartments. One was Abraham's bosom, where the poor man Lazarus went, and the other is the region of fire, which is where the rich man was. Now, that place you could see in between. Lazarus could see the rich man could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. But it was so far that it was impossible to climb or to cross. How many get what I'm saying? When Jesus came, and the Bible says when he ascended up on high in Ephesians 4, what does it mean that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And when he ascended, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, what happened was when he went down after death, when he went, he was buried and he went down, he went to take Abraham's bosom to heaven. So now, after Christ came, when the wicked die, they go back to that same place in fire. When the righteous die, they go straight to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, if we really believe so, then it means that it is an emergency for us to find a way to preach the gospel to every creature. Because if that is not the case, it is going to be a terrible thing for souls, because this is eternal. There is no escape. There is no turning back. Now, go to Revelation chapter 20. I believe it's verse 13. I think we read that a couple of weeks ago, Wednesday service. Okay, let's start from 10. Now, this is very important. Now, it even gets scarier. Hell is beneath the earth, the Bible says. Hell or Hades is beneath the earth. Do you understand what I mean by beneath the earth? Meaning that it's in the earth. Who knows whether the volcanic eruptions, this is my theory, it has zero to do with Bible. But the volcanic eruptions are just splatters or a few ins and outs of hell itself. Just, yeah. Because it's beneath the earth. That one is not my theory, it's Bible. Bible says hell is beneath the earth. That's Bible. Am I preaching to somebody? But my theory, because we can't use our theory with the Bible, is truth. Theory is theory. And my theory is that the volcanic, once in a while, it erupts. It could be just some spillage from hell. Overflow from hell, yeah. But there's even something more frightening. That's why God takes very seriously. God takes some people who win the loss to be very special. Very, very special. And the Bible says that he who wins souls is wise. The Bible also says in Daniel chapter 11, we'll read it. Or is it Daniel? We'll read it. Daniel 11 or 12, we'll get that verse, which says that when we wake up, many will wake up, many who sleep will wake up into everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt and shame. But those who win souls will shine, in fact, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who win souls will shine like the stars forever and ever. But we'll explain that. Now let's continue. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now this lake of fire is separate and different from the hell. Hell is called Hades. The lake of fire in the Greek is called Gehenna. That is the everlasting place. Hell is like a transit hotel. And don't forget that hell is a place that the rich man said, please send Lazarus to dip the tip of his tongue in water to cool, the tip of his hand in water to cool my tongue because I am tormented in this flame. So a drop of water was something that was being begged for to cool someone's tongue in flames. And yet, it is transit. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. That's why when I have crusades, every crusade I have this water. I learned it from Bishop. I have water. And I demonstrate the last day about Sheraton Hotel, hell like Sheraton Hotel. And yet, a drop of water, a single drop of water, is all someone was begging for. Not a bottle of water, but to dip the tip of your hand in water, to just a tip, just a tiny bit of water to cool my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. I'm talking about this. You and I are saved. We are sitting around coolly. But there are billions out there who are not saved. Those are the ones I'm talking about. I'm trying to get our hearts to turn to what Jesus is passionate about, which is that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, meaning perpetuity. From time to time, the Old Testament, it will say forever, but when you look at the Hebrew word, it is till the end of the age. But when the Bible makes it clear forever and ever, it is life without end. So torment. Now let's continue. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. This is prophecies for the future. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This couldn't have happened because the devil is still tormenting people, still bringing disease, still bringing terror. When the devil is tormented and in flames, he has no mind to even, how is he going to torment? How is he going to trouble people? So this has not happened yet. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, the dead. And the books were opened. So it's not only the book of life, but there are books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there are books, not only of life, but there are books of works and books of things that we do. Let's read it. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the book or books. In the books. So it means that some of the things that we do are written in books in heaven. I'm preaching a message here. According to their works. Next verse. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now, the sea, now, there are a lot who are dead in the sea. But when you listen to the 21 reasons why we must not be left behind, or you read Revelation, a third of the things in the sea will die. Many people will die. There's going to be a lot of death between the tribulation, this last 3.5 years. Hallelujah. Amen. Of the world. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. So those who are in fire now will be delivered up to face the great white throne. Those in fire now. And the dead. Am I preaching to somebody? Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. What this means is that as soon as the righteous die, they go straight to heaven. They have nothing to do here. They are dealing with the judgment seat of Christ about rewards. Now, those who died at that time, plus those who died in the past, am I preaching to somebody? They are burning now, but they know it's true. Because as they are burning now, they know that they deserve to be burning. But they have not yet been judged. So hell with the people burning, and death will deliver up the dead in them. And they were all judged, every man according to his works. God cannot let someone who, there's nothing like transit. So God is just, will not let someone be burning for many years and then be delivered up and say, oh, we made a mistake. No. It's just to judge you for it to be complete and final. Continue. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the real one is the lake. Imagine a lake of fire. So instead of water, it's fire. 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 Now that, I don't think is in the earth. That's another theory. Most likely somewhere else. Who knows whether it's one of the planets that is the hot planet burning or the sun. I don't know. That's a theory. But whatever we know, theory or no theory, there's second death, lake of fire. Gehenna. Now, why would people who were created in God's image, the Bible says that, now put on the new man, Christians, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, if the Spirit of God is in the Christian, which is in, or the Spirit of God is in you and I, how can the Holy Spirit in you not provoke you, but cause you to be relaxed about the millions of people who are dying every day and going to a Christless eternity? No, then that means either you and I are restricting the Holy Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit, or we have to start thinking twice. Because the Holy Spirit has come to the earth to look after the church, right, and to help with the lost being saved. Right. Can you see how millions of people will be going to a Christless eternity? Even when we go on outreach now, when we go on the street now on outreach, what are you talking about? People don't want to hear about it. In fact, Cleveland is one of the best places to do outreach. Is that so, Etta Abby? It's one of the best places because we don't hear, get away! We don't say, nonsense! We don't hear curse words. Have we ever heard curse words here? Not even one. Minnesota. You anger. As you see the rage of devils. Get away! Hey! But even here, many of the people we talk to, they don't even know God. I remember I started walking back and forth with someone who had read so much and said he doesn't believe that there are many ways to heaven. He started to go off. He doesn't believe Jesus. He believes Jesus was somebody, but he was a teacher. Many people have so many theories. Some people say they are not sure. I asked someone who said he doesn't believe in God, do you believe there's a God? He said no. Then I started to appeal to his conscience. I said, no one has ever talked to me this way. In fact, I'll think about it. There are many people, Because you can't just say the Bible says to someone who says, I don't believe in the Bible. You have to do more than the Bible
says.
Because anything you say will be debunked. Because they don't believe Bible. So you have to do more than the Bible says to such a person. But if we have the opportunity to give somebody, Jesus. That's why when we do crusades, we just feel, I mean, why would Bishop go all the way to these places? Is it for money? It can't be for money because they'll give you oranges.
Yeah.
It's oranges. They'll spend hundreds of thousands. Gasoline. I've had a business with a tractor trailer. I've been the CEO of a company before. And that business, I know the cost. You see, the heavier the I'm talking about 18 wheeler, the heavier the loads, the you burn fuel. Like you are drinking water. You are pouring water. The lighter the load, the less the fuel. Nevertheless, very expensive. Now imagine traveling now when the roads are bumpy, and we are carrying heavy equipment. Oh, hundreds of thousands would be nothing. They spend much more, and you spend so much to go to places like that. How much are you going to get? Sometimes you'll get less than $100. So it can't be for money. It's because God said. And I understand it because when I go to Wagner, I remember when I was going to South Dakota, the Indian reservation, to do crusades, I was afraid the first time. I didn't tell anyone in the car. After that, I told them. I was afraid. Because the first time I was going, before then, someone went to an Indian reservation, one of our members' cousins, and was murdered in the reservation. And there was no, maybe one or two investigations, they closed the case, nothing. Indian reservation. But the souls that were won there, those who contributed, those who prayed for us, those who supported, their share will be part of it. Because God wants, I mean, who is going to do it? Look at Romans chapter 10, and then we'll read Daniel. Romans chapter 10, let's start from verse 8. I don't know what I'm preaching to you this morning. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? All those millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people who we see in the crusades, any of them who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how, you see, many of the people, when Bishop goes there, what he hears is that nobody has come here. All the evangelists, they are not going to be, sometimes he has to take boats, risk their lives. Who are going to go there? They'll go to cities. Major cities, but these are villages, towns. So how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You see, Christians, we must think about others. Because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, in the belly area. Because this is my daughter, so I can touch. Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit is in the belly area.
The Holy Spirit must influence your heart and mind to at least worry about them. Oh, how? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
That's right.
Next verse. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How are they going to be sent? L'argent. Money. Because, look. What? Oh, yeah. Tell me. Is he supposed to say, God, in Jesus' name, I pray, I need money for crusade. I pray that you just send the money to the bank account magically. 1, 2, 3, pa! Then go to the bank, call, the money is in. Is that how you do it?
No.
No. And how shall they preach except they be sent? For it is so. For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, what this is talking about is in the olden times there was war. Now imagine there is war. And you hear, mayday, mayday, mayday. You get a telegram saying, someone rushes with a horse saying that, you know what, we are losing the war. And the enemy has promised and sworn that when we lose the war, they are coming to kill us all. How much despair will there be? How much fear will there be? Are you hearing what I'm talking about? There will be so much fear. Now, when someone comes to bring glad tidings that the war has been won, won't their feet be beautiful to you?
That's right.
That's what they're saying. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Next verse. And he continues. Now let's look at another verse and we'll read one or two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 12. Let's go to 13. 14. 15. 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. What it means is that there was a time you and I were not Christians. Even if you are born in a Christian home, the fact that these two are children of pastors does not guarantee that they'll be saved. That's why I was baptizing some people sometime, and they said they wanted to be baptized. They came with me. And I said, I can't baptize you. You are not saved. They wept like 5-year-olds. And then I said, prove it. I asked, what does it mean to be saved? They explained it more than I was shocked. I said, what forbids me from baptizing them? Get ready. Get into the water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it meant that there was a time that they, myself and all of us, were enemies of God. Were enemies. You reconcile people who are no longer together. That's what reconciliation means. It means that you were enemies or you were not together. You were what? Not in good terms. Am I preaching to somebody? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So after reconciling us to God, he gave us Christians the ministry of reconciliation. Now, many people will say verse 17 is for me. Oh, how many believe verse 17 is for me? If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things, old problems, old distraction, old wrongs, old sin, old habits, old failures. Oh, I passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, I'm new in Christ. I'm new in blessing. I'm new in finances. I'm new in... Yes, you are new, but 18 also applies.
Amen.
which says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let's continue. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Am I preaching to somebody? What's the next verse? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. Meaning that we represent God's kingdom. We have been brought into the earthly kingdom, and we represent Christ. So it means that the church is the embassy.
That's right.
Now it means that the church is God's kingdom on earth.
Amen.
Just like French embassy is French soil in America. A French embassy in America. It means the laws of France apply to that perimeter. In the same way, the laws of heaven apply here. And we are ambassadors to reconcile the world. Tell them that, look, come back to God. Bring them to the new kingdom. Bring them to the new kingdom. This is not for pastors. It says the whole Christian people. Next verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be called the righteousness, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When then, as workers, then continues, was then, okay, very good. How many are getting what I'm saying? So the Bible is saying that God is not counting people's sins against them. But if they don't know it, look at the two verses before this. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm talking about. Verse 19 and 20, look at NLT. Hallelujah.
Amen.
New Living Translation, NLT. We are having Bible studies. Use King James as the focus. NESB by its side. And then the other versions in light of the two. Because they are the original translations. Now, there are two types of translations of the Bible. There's the textual translations or the interpretive translation of the Bible. King James, NESB are textual. Take the Greek manuscripts, directly transpose it directly to English. Textual. What it says is exactly put in the Bible. Now, the other NIV and the others, they are also good. NLT, they are all good, but they are interpretive translations, meaning that a group of scholars come, sit down, who are Greek scholars, and they read the Greek words and say, okay, what do we all think it means? Let's all agree and write it down. That's good, but once in a while, you might miss a few things. I want what the exact words Apostle Paul Christ said written clearly. That's why, but some of these are easy to understand. That's why we read them in light of the two main versions. I'm sure when we get into School of the Word, we'll talk more about it. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. Don't shut me down now. I'm preaching good here. Final verse. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Now think about that.
Amen.
So when we see someone going to the lost and saying, Jesus is Lord, give your life to Jesus. And he says that, look, I can't go without being sent. Let's support it. I said what? Let's support it.
Amen.
I said well, let's support it. And I understand because when I'm also raising funds, I also raise funds for the Jesus Heals Miracle Crusade. I raise funds also. I go to the branches in my diocese and I raise funds because we are going there. We have to rent vehicles because we are also going to the poor. The bus we rented in Dallas, DFW, for the crusade, that big bus, how much did we spend on it? Sorry? $2,000 bus. Place was packed with the people, bus. We needed it for one day. Now, hall. How much is hall? How much are the tracks we have to give, advertisement. Oh. So if I sit there and I say, I'm not going to raise funds because the Christians, no, you have to raise funds. And if you say you're going to pass the basket around, you don't have a single, I promise you, not a single crusade. If I say, oh, in Jesus' name, support the crusade, pass the basket around. Look, I'm guaranteeing you, there'll be no crusade. Unless you go pack crusade, that one, you hardly get people to be saved. People will be walking in, we've done all that. We don't do that in America, at least not now. But I don't know if you get one time. So I know and I understand how much money is needed. But mine is 300, 400, 500 people. But these are hundreds of thousands of people.
That's right.
So this is even needed far more.
Amen.
Because the masses of people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And the ministry of healing, and people are being healed. Bishop will go to, which of the Muslim countries did he go to? He went to Papua New Guinea and many Muslim countries. That's why they changed the name from Jesus, Healing Jesus Crusade to Healing Jesus Campaign. Because the Muslims crusade, it's a whole different story. Come and see people who say, look, I was a Muslim, but I've never seen any Muslim do what God has done here. I surrender to Jesus. Who is Jesus? Is Jesus Lord? Yes, Jesus is Lord. Plenty. Yeah, plenty. Oh, when you see miracles, it's right. Senegal. Which other places? Gambia. Many Muslim countries, they all see Yeshua Mashiach is Christ. Because Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet. They don't believe he's God's son. They don't believe that he's God. But they believe he was a prophet sent. Hallelujah. Because when I went to Jerusalem, most people were in the Dead Sea. I wanted to also join them in the Dead Sea. But there was a Palestinian lifeguard. I spent all the time with him. I wanted to know their history. I wanted to understand what they're about. He explained about how, so I told him that, tell me about your religion. So we spent 90% of the time he telling me, and then I chipped in Christ and salvation, and I said he should also think about that. But I learned how they think. Because I need to know that.
Right.
Yeah. But even if you don't know that and you say Jesus is Lord, rise up in Jesus' name and be healed. And the person gets up. Whether you understand it or not, they'll get up and they'll say, Jesus is Lord, I surrender.
Amen.
Many in Senegal, many surrender to Christ Jesus. So we need to support it. I said what? We need to support it. I said what? We need to support it. Now, when Bishop is having crusades and he's planning for crusades, he looks at those who are supporting by direct debit partners. Because all of us know that people who pledge 30 to 40% honor their pledges. And most likely that is why many Christians are not blessed. Because if I don't have it, I'll never pledge if I am not going to give. Because it is the Bible talks a lot about being a fool if you vow to God and you don't pay.
Yeah.
The worst thing. If I know I can't give it, I'll not vow. I'll not use emotions to raise my hand. No.
That's right.
There's someone who used emotions. I have to remind him. Yeah. I don't think it was a hefty amount. Don't use emotions. That's what the Bible says, that if 2 Corinthians 9, he who gives sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who gives bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver and is able to make all grace abound towards him. I think it's 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Don't give out of compulsion.
Amen.
What? Why is that verse? Don't give out of compulsion at all. Give. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly or of necessity. They say we must give. Hey, I have to give because they say, what? If I'm sitting there and I don't have it, and people are watching me, I'll let them keep watching till they're tired. We are not talking about that. But if God presses in your heart and says, give, many times when God says give, most of the time my heart is aching and I have to wrestle with myself because the amount is usually a big amount. Yeah. I'm just saying it. So the fact that it's a big amount does not mean that it's the devil. No, I rebuke the devil. No, don't rebuke the devil. Give. But if God has fixed it at even $10, unless God touches my heart, that's what I'll give. That's what the Bible says. Give as it, where's that verse? According as it purposeth in his heart. But if the pastor is preaching and it touches your heart and you know that God is saying, look, give more, do it. I remember before I went, before I stopped work, I had pledged a decent amount of money because I could afford it because of my work. When I stopped it, I couldn't give it. I mean, I don't know how I'll be able to give it. But I wrote it down. I paid it, no problem. It's better if you, let's say you have 1,000 to give, it's better to give 100 every month till you pay that 1,000 than to leave it. Yeah. Many people feel that, no, I have to get the lump sum. According to who? 100, 200 till you pay it. But don't owe God. So as we are talking here, but the nice thing about the crusades are, if you decide to be a partner, you can decide to reverse it. I can say that I want to be a partner of Healing Jesus campaign. I want to pay $50 a month, direct debit. If next week I say, no, this thing, I don't know, I don't like it. It's a simple yoke. I tell myself, Pastor Elon, whatever. Or you can even do it online if you are on a mega flock. Right. Cancel. No, it's simple. No confusion. And it's been very reliable to date from many years ago. So ladies and gentlemen, that's how he plans. He looks at the direct debit. Now, I believe that some of us here, including myself, will be board members. Board members are, I think, 1,000 a month. Some start from 500 a month, 1,000 a month. Some were paying $50. I remember some of the convention, the camps. Who wants to give $50? Many of us struggled. $50. As we're giving the $50, $30, then $100, it was easier. Look, now people are giving $20,000 cash camp because God has promoted them because they are supporting this thing. Yes. I don't know if you are, I thought you would clap for God. I'm telling you, the camps, many people who could not give $100 or $500 are giving $20,000. Now, for you to be given $20,000, you must be earning so much that $20,000 will look like $100 for somebody.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the only reason you can do that. And some of those people who were given the $20,000, look, I'm talking about some of the pastors. I'm talking literally. I'm not talking about in terms of spiritually or in terms of symbolically. They have 3 houses paid for in the United States of America cash. Finished mortgage. Like I said, it's not symbolic. It's not wish. I'm talking about now, today. The deed, title deed, is not with a bank. Cash, pay.
That's it.
And they give. They are the ones who give heavily.
That's right.
Why? Because who is going to do it? Do you think Jesus will come and die painful down the cross, shame, naked, all that for just a few? And the world doesn't care. The world does not care hoot. The world doesn't care. Look, evangel, let them do their evangelism. Look, we are looking for money. We are looking for car. We are looking for house. Forget about it. That's the world. Oh,
that's right.
Even church people, church folk. But if God identifies someone who says, yes, I don't have it all, but I'm trusting God that this is very important to Jesus. Because as Jesus is in heaven, he's not only interceding for the saints, but he's trying to win the lost, touching hearts to win the lost. If I can see somebody who is going to do something, I'm going to hold that person and support that person. Let me give you one verse. Let's continue this. This will explain what I'm talking about. You can put your hands together for the Lord and then we'll explain it. Verse 8. But you see, wisdom is justified of her children. Meaning that what I'm saying, some will take it and say, oh, yeah, this is just someone who is emotional, screaming emotional man. Fair enough. That is me to you. But Jesus said, wisdom is justified of her children. Those who support, unless the Bible says God is not unrighteous.
Oh.
Will God see someone giving and reward them the same as a Christian who doesn't?
No.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Let's use NLT here. This is a very powerful verse, and then we'll finish with the verses. Very powerful. This explains what I'm talking about. For God, okay, let's get to that verse. What verse are we looking at? 2 Corinthians 9, good. And God will generously provide all you need. Let's start from verse 7 so we understand it. Very important. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, like I was saying. Never. All these things I'm saying, it shouldn't pressure anybody. That's Bible. Oh, you did not. No, no, no. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide what?
All
you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's the key.
Amen.
Glory, 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 glory. That's it. You always have plenty left over to share with others. That is the key. Because if God wants to be a blessing to someone or God wants to help someone, how will God do it? If God says that this is the channel I can use to provide all his resources to be pumped to this person. Pumped. Because God can count on the person to support.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. And it continues. So later when you go home, you can read this. It continues. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want to encourage us to support the Healing Jesus campaign. Support it. Now, there are different ways of supporting it. The best way to support it is to be a partner. People are partners of Benny Hinn, all these things. Those are good. But become a partner of this. Because Every dollar goes to it. There are some charities, by the time they calculate overhead, calculate that, it's like 30 cents to a dollar. Yeah. I've given $10. $3.70 has gone to what I give for. No, but how could you, look, contract this, line clause, by the time they finish, everything's explained. Tax this, everything. But not so with this. And the orphanage, the Lighthouse Orphanage. So look, two ways. One is direct debit partnership and giving a nice amount. Or the second is direct debit. And then the next is, I just want to give an amount. Giving an amount is good. One-time amount or as you are led is also good. But when you become a partner, you help with the planning to make sure that crusades are held. What do you think?
Powerful.
It's very powerful. So ladies and gentlemen, that is my small encouragement on the Jesus, the Healing Jesus campaign in giving. And then let me just give you that verse in Daniel. Is it Daniel 12? I promise I'll give you that verse. Let me just throw it in. Verse 1, Daniel 11 or Daniel 12, 1. Good. Daniel 12, 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people, thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. That's the tribulation. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So, if that is a promise given to those who win the loss, it means that in heaven, those will be very important. In heaven, it will be one of the high ranks. What is Jesus called? Bright and morning star. So it means that he shines. The more you shine, the better it is. Who is the sun? Who, there will be no need of the sun in the New Jerusalem. Why? Who is the brightness of the New Jerusalem? Jesus. So the more you shine, the better in heaven. Okay. Shall we pray? Father God, we want to thank you. Shall we stand to our feet? Because today is a special day, I've gone a bit past time, but it's not usual. We all know. I think everyone knows that we finish exactly on time. If you are here this afternoon, I want you to just speak to the Lord. Just ask him to touch your heart. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to give you the grace to give, to support this great opportunity. It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity. Yeah. Giving to it is a great opportunity. You can also take advantage. It's a good opportunity. Let's sing a song. Hallelujah to Jesus.
I wanna be more like you, Jesus, and I wanna be more like you.
Wanna be more like Jesus.
I wanna be a vessel you work through, and I wanna be more like you. Jesus, and I wanna be more like you. Jesus, and I wanna be more like you.
Wanna be more like Jesus.
I wanna be a vessel you work through, and you work through. I wanna be more like you.
I wanna be, I need to be, I got to be like Jesus.
I wanna be more like you.
Wanna be more like
Jesus. I wanna be more like you.
Wanna be more like
Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you are through. I wanna be more like you.
I wanna be a vessel.
I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you.
There's anyone here who wants to say, Pastor, pray with me. I wanna surrender my life and my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be saved. If you are here like that, lift your hands high up and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone? Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor in the name of Jesus. And the saints said, Amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats. Let me quickly take the tithe offering and then I'll just ask for partners quickly.